Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on Crown Point Mayor Dave Uran testing positive for COVID-19. Barbara Angiano reports on Johnson & Johnson resuming its vaccine trials in the region. And Chris Nolte has a conversation with Burgess Peoples, the president and chief strategist for the City of Gary's Faith Leaders and Community Partnerships. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. Crown Point Mayor Dave Uran has tested positive for COVID-19. Uran disclosed on social media that he received his positive results from Great Lakes Laboratory after taking a test Monday morning. He said he developed flu-like symptoms late Sunday evening that deteriorated very quickly as the night went on, that caused him to reach out to the City of Crown Point COVID Task Force for guidance. The mayor said he spent several hours on Monday notifying the people who were in close or direct contact with him as per CDC guidelines. In the post, Uran said he doesn't know exactly how he was exposed, contending that he has not been around anyone who has been recently diagnosed with a confirmed case of COVID-19. Uran said he is keeping himself available for community needs during his quarantine. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson. The Gary Community School Corp is closing its buildings in light of growing reports of COVID-19 positive cases across the region. The school corporation announced Wednesday that effective November 16th, only essential administrative and IT staff will be allowed in Gary District buildings to facilitate technical assistance for teachers, students, and parents. The Times reports the Gary Community School Corp has been operating entirely with virtual learning for students since the start of the school year. However, teachers have been reporting to school buildings to lead instruction from their Gary classrooms. Gary School spokeswoman Chelsea Whittington said the district made its decision based on the rise of COVID-19 cases regionally and nationally and not due to any specific cases in the Gary District. Gary Schools will continue offering the twice-weekly food distribution service conducted outside of schools and in designated outdoor locations across the city. Gary Schools, which was one of the first Northwest Indiana districts to announce plans to start its school year virtually, has set no target dates for returning teachers and students to in-person instruction. District leaders have said they will work with local health officials to make a determination on when it is safe to return to school buildings. The Gary Schools announcement comes as several districts across the region, including the Crown Point, Miraville, Portage, and Valparaiso School Corporations, have announced changes to learning plans, with some suspending in-person instruction until December or the end of the calendar year due to staffing challenges and an increasing number of student and teacher quarantines. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson. Johnson & Johnson has resumed its COVID-19 vaccine trial in Northwest Indiana nearly a month after the company paused the study. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Barbara Angiano reports, increasing COVID numbers in the region makes the vaccine an option for those willing to go through the trial.
The study is being coordinated through Binac Clinical Research in Valparaiso. Dr. Robert Binac says study pauses speak to the importance of safety in trials, and the news of the early positive results of other vaccines and treatments indicates that vaccine work is headed in the right direction. BinaC says the vaccine trial also serves as an option for those who might not be able to get it in the first round of distribution.
It's going to be a long couple of months, I think, and I think we have some possible answers brewing here with these studies.
BinaC says the study will continue as previously planned in Northwest Indiana, with the focus remaining on reaching out to a diverse group of test participants. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Barbara Anguiano.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
A federal judge who last week recused herself from the bribery case of a former Northwest Indiana mayor has changed course and will preside over the man's retrial after all. The Times reports that U.S. District Court Judge Teresa Springman on Tuesday vacated the recusal order she issued last Friday in the case involving former Portage Mayor James Snyder. Springman did not explain her decision to keep the case. A federal jury convicted Snyder in 2019 of bribery and federal tax violations, but the bribery verdict was later overturned. His retrial on soliciting bribes is set to begin December 7th.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Hospitalization rates due to COVID-19 reached their highest point Thursday since the state began releasing that data. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Barbara Anguiano reports, the Indiana Hospital Association says healthcare workers face a lot of uncertainties as case numbers continue to surge.
Laura McCaffrey with IHA says Hoosier hospitals will continue to have to make difficult decisions when it comes to providing health care if surging hospitalization trends don't improve fast. She says hospitals are not only faced with an overwhelming number of people needing care, but an overwhelming number of staff being worn out.
I think one of my hospital members put it perfectly when he said, spare Thanksgiving to save Christmas. If we can just all kind of hunker down in the next month or so, that will make a really big difference.
McCaffrey says the best thing Hoosiers can do for hospitals right now is implement the safety measures we all know. Wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands, and stay home if you suspect being ill. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Barbara Anguiano.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Governor Eric Holcomb announced Wednesday he will reimpose some COVID-19 restrictions on counties failing to control spread of the virus. Holcomb's new executive order comes after weeks of inaction in the face of worsening COVID numbers. The state will use the color-coded COVID map it updates weekly to determine what restrictions counties face. State Health Commissioner Dr. Chris Box explains.
If your county is in orange, social gatherings of any kind, indoors or outdoors, are limited to 50 people. If your county is in red, social gatherings of any kind, indoors or outdoors, are limited to 25 people.
But those restrictions do not appear to apply to businesses, churches, or schools. And local health departments can still approve events that exceed those gathering limits, including sporting events. Holcomb says the state will be more active in urging businesses to enforce mask wearing, including posting signs about face coverings. But it's unclear how extensive that enforcement will be.
The ATC, et cetera, Homeland Security, will continue to take the posture and approach of education in terms of promoting the best practices.
The 7-day average for new COVID cases has increased 447% since Holcomb moved to reopening Stage 5 in late September.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Governor Eric Holcomb's latest round of COVID restrictions, like many that came before, don't apply to houses of worship. That's despite state officials highlighting churches as a major source of the virus's spread. Holcomb says his newest executive order, which imposes social gathering limits in counties experiencing high rates of spread, does not put those restrictions on worship spaces in those counties.
But we do want to stress that this virus connects with people wherever they are when you let your guard down.
State Health Commissioner Dr. Chris Box says she has respect and support for church services.
I would say that of the top four or five contact tracing events that we have, there is a spike every week on Sunday related to church events.
Box urges people in high-risk categories, older Hoosiers, and those with underlying health conditions like heart disease and diabetes, to worship remotely if possible.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. The Food and Drug Administration has given emergency authorization to Eli Lilly for its COVID-19 antibody drug. The Indianapolis-based company will be able to distribute the treatment to mild to moderate COVID-19 patients who are 12 years and older and at high risk of it progressing to a more severe case and/or hospitalization. Last month, the U.S. government agreed to initially purchase 300,000 doses of the antibody therapy to distribute across the country pending FDA approval. According to Lilly, those who receive one of the treatments purchased through the federal program will face no out-of-pocket expenses for the drug, but could still have to pay fees from their health care providers, something that could cost the patient hundreds of dollars. Manufacturing of the antibody has been ongoing while the pharmaceutical company conducted trials on the drug, with an expected 1 million doses of the antibody to be ready by the end of this year. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
A program to extend unemployment benefits for workers who have used up other forms of benefits is ending this week. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks reports data from the Department of Labor shows around 3,000 Hoosiers are currently using the program.
In Indiana, unemployed workers can currently get half a year of state unemployment benefits, plus an additional 13 weeks of benefits under a temporary federal program. If they've exhausted both of those options, an extended benefit program adds yet another 13 weeks of unemployment eligibility. But due to federal rules, as Indiana's unemployment rate drops, the Department of Workforce Development will be turning off the extended benefits program this week. Other programs that extended the length of unemployment benefits and allowed self-employed workers to access benefits for the first time are still set to expire at the end of the year. However, that could change if Congress passes new legislation before then. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Justin Hicks.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
A union representing employees at the Environmental Protection Agency in the Midwest is celebrating the end of the Trump administration. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Rebecca Thiel reports, members of the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 704, say the president's leadership has made it difficult for them to do their job.
Since President Trump took office, union members say they've lost staff, pollution enforcement is at an all-time low, and climate science has largely been ignored. Laureen Targos is a physical scientist in the EPA's Great Lakes National Program Office. She says staff don't feel like their work is being respected. Targos says she's seen a colleague have their analysis thrown out because it didn't align with the administration's politics.
To see it affect their work when they've just been rigorous professionals their whole lives is very demoralizing.
Diversity has also been an issue. Union members say the Trump administration has hired fewer Black, Indigenous, and people of color and banned some diversity trainings. Targos says she hopes the next administration will make environmental justice a priority. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
New data suggests statewide enrollments at Indiana's public schools declined by nearly 15,000 students compared to last fall. From Indiana Public Broadcasting, Eric Weddle reports a decline in younger students due to the pandemic is one reason.
The number of students attending a public or charter school fell by about 1.5% compared to last fall. That's based on a single day when the state counts the number of students attending a school. Around 270 traditional public school districts and individual charter schools reported a decline. The highest percentage of students lost by a school corporation is at Manchester Community Schools and Griffith Public Schools. Both declined by 11%. The Indiana Department of Education says about half the overall decline is likely families delaying enrollment for kindergartners due to the pandemic. Some schools did gain students. The online charter school, Indiana Connections Academy, saw an enrollment surge of nearly 40%. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Weddle.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson. Here's regionally speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Burgess Peoples, the president and chief strategist for the City of Gary's Faith Leaders and Community Partnerships Organization.
In recent weeks, there have been a series of virtual solution table conversations with local and statewide elected officials and law enforcement officers and members of a community here involving the City of Gary and the Faith Leaders and Community Partnerships, as the group is called. And they've had one of these recent meetings just yesterday. Let's find out a bit more about it. Burgess Peoples is the president and chief strategist for the organization of Faith Leaders and Community Partnerships. It's working with Mayor Jerome's office on this project, and she is with us to talk about things. Good morning. How are you? And thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Good morning, Chris, and thank you for having me.
Well, tell us first off what the organization's goals are and how these conversations seem to be fitting in with it.
Well, the goals are for us to be resources for families, businesses affected by critical changes in our world, of course, but also to send clear messages to what we want. Like right now. And so with the panel discussions, it tied in to our mission, and that is to be a voice, to be present, and to offer solutions throughout our region and get everybody involved. Like, listen, you live here too. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we want to talk at you, we want to talk with you so we can come up with solutions that's going to be for the betterment of all mankind.
Now, one of the topics that's come up here just recently is, of course, been the concern about partnership with the community and with law enforcement and in the City of Gary in particular. What are some of the other topics in the past discussions been about and who have been involved in them as panelists?
The past discussions have been on poverty during COVID, police reform, and systemic racism. Past Senator Eddie Melton was one of the panelists, and of course, Mayor Jerome Prince, City of Gary. And we've had several faith leaders, the president of the Gary and Vicinity Baptist Ministers, the president of the Interfaith Clergy, Gary and Vicinity, that the president of the Baptist Ministers is Pastor Corey Jackson, and the Interfaith is Pastor Dr. David Neville. And along with a slew of other individuals, also with Town Council, Fourth Ward, Steve Tolowitzki, and like I said, a lot of other individuals. And the conversations have been stringent. I mean, they come to the table wide open to learn, to hear what the public need and what they have to say. And when they give their input, it is coming from the heart. And that is what the public need, along with information on how we can assist our legislative body in pushing in new bills and policies to help us further make the necessary changes so we can feel safe.
Now, I understand that many of these participants have been in each one of the conversations, but you had a special one in the one that was held yesterday. You actually got the superintendent of the Indiana State Police to participate. Tell us how Superintendent Doug Carter was involved in this, and I understand he actually came to town, so to speak, for yes. this event. And I guess we got set up, I guess, in an unusual place to hold a meeting.
Yes. Well, yesterday was Veterans Day, and of course we salute all of our veterans. I have been in conversations with Superintendent of the State Police, Doug Carter, for about a couple of weeks. And what he said was, hey, listen, I heard about you through one of your mutual friend, Janae Nguyen from the Indiana Parenting Institute. And mm-hmm. he was like, I am absolutely loving the solution tables, and I want to be a part. This is close to his heart, and he's like, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a change agent as well. And he showed his commitment and dedication to this. He flew in yesterday to the city of Gary. Myself and the director of communication for the city of Gary, Michael Gonzalez, we were having breakfast at Jay's Breakfast Club, and we were going to tune in from there. So yeah. he came in, and he's like, hey, I'm here. It just blew my mind to see that kind of dedication, not just at the local level, but from the state level. And he gave some very, very insightful information regarding where we are in policing and how he wanted to see things move forward differently and how to impact these type of things by having these sort of conversations, raw conversations, whereas, hey, you just tell the truth and then let it all, you know, out and let's see what we can take it from there. But his input and just having him here in the city of Gary was absolutely outstanding.
I understand you had some good comments and discussion that came from some of the other members that was on yesterday's panel as well, including the town councilman from Munster.
I love what Councilman Steve had to say about breaking the silence. His input on that was, it just gave me chills, because a lot of times we can be in a room, white, black, it does not matter, and hear people say and or do things that can impact a relationship, but impact a region and a community negatively if we stay silent. So his that one sentence about silence is dangerous, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but to open up our mouths and start speaking about what we really want, I think is more impactful than sitting back in a corner and not saying anything mm-hmm. about change.
Yeah. I understand that Gary Police Chief Brian Evans has been a participant. It was in yesterday's discussion. Has he been a participant in all of these table conversations that have been held since July?
Not all of them, but mm-hmm. he has truly been impactful. We had a peace rally before we kicked off the discussions, and he was there and speaking and talking and taking in information with our meetings with the mayor. Of course, he has given some great insight on what policing looks like right here in the city of Gary and how they want to partner with the community, having community policing together, just talking. Like, you know, this really doesn't work. And I think it was Pastor Corey Jackson that said about how we used to have Officer Friendly. When I grew up, I knew Officer Friendly in my community. And we have police officers in my family, so I know all police officers are not bad. And to change the narrative and perspective from our youth today, I would say bring back those type of characters in the community. The regular police, letting us know your first name, inviting them for a cup of coffee to say, we support you and we are behind you. We just do not care for the bad policing, and how do we come together on that? So Chief of Police Brian Evans was very, very clear about wanting to do that, wanting to partner, wanting to hear the voices of the community and also to be heard. So it will not be a one-sided conversation and one-sided action, but we can do this together.
Now, are there any more conversations coming up beyond the one that was held yesterday, and any particular topics you hope to bring up at those?
Yes, there's one coming up in January. We are ironing out all the details right now. Mm-hmm. We'll be working with our legislative body in the State House and waiting for them to bring back policies, laws, and bills that we all can look at and say, hey, listen, this really will work, or can you guys put this in here that may not work for us? But collectively, we're coming together and making these decisions and supporting what our legislative body bring to the floor in the State House. So in January, our conversation is still going to be on police reform and moving forward with that. I know that we can, there's a slew of things everyone wants to have happen, but it's not going to happen all at one time.
Right.
So I figure if we can focus on this one area and have an accomplishment here, everything else will fall into place. The biggest question yesterday was about racism, and do we honestly believe we can eradicate it? And every panelist had the same notion of saying no. My thing is, you're right, we may not be able to eradicate this thing, but individually we can make a choice to change the way we treat one another, how we communicate with one another, and how we interact with one another in this space on Earth.
Burgess Peoples is the president and chief strategist for an organization called the City of Gary Faith Leaders and Community Partnerships. And Burgess, thank you for being with us and passing on this information about this latest series of discussions. And we hope to find out more later in January after the next one. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great day.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by BenSound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.